Meeting started. So, yep, please start the recording. Thank you. And the meeting is called to order at 10 a.m. Roll call, please.
Donna Shaw.
Here.
Gwen Bumpers.
Here.
Emily Drone. Lauren Irwin. Shauna Mackey.
Here.
Jacob Pate.
Here.
Bobby Perryman. Rachel Stewart. Carol Zeiss.
Here.
Okay. So the first item on the agenda is the approval of minutes from January 19th. Has everybody had a chance to look at those? Feel like somebody's trying to say something. I don't know. Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve the January 19th minutes.
Is that Jacob raising his hand?
No, I
Okay.
wasn't here, so
Okay.
I can't.
Okay. So I need someone to make a motion for the approval of last month's minutes or January's minutes.
I'll make a motion. This is Carol.
Thank you. May I have a second?
This is Gwen. I second.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Okay. Donna.
Yes.
Gwen.
Yes.
Shauna.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, my list has disappeared. Let me exit that. Jacob.
Abstain.
Okay. Carol.
Yes.
Is someone sharing their screen?
Yes, I'm going to see what's going on.
Okay. I got the open Zoom meeting thing. I don't think
Oh.
I touched anything. There we go.
Right, I've
Okay.
just turned it off.
Thank you. Okay. All right, so those are approved. So the share update.
Morning, everybody. Hi,
Cassandra.
I have a few updates. I have the first is just an Aspen update. We have completed the second round of cohorts. They have all gone live, and so we're now moving into the third, and they have also started going live first week of our launch, and so they're going to continue in the next few weeks. We have also got a project plan completed for the remainder of our member libraries. So we're already starting to reach out to the first group of libraries. We're starting with publics because the launch and implementation will be over the summer. So we're starting with that first group and have already started sending them communications to go ahead and get started on building those catalogs. And so with that, the plan is to do public libraries, A through L, and then M through Z, and kind of split them into two. And then starting in the fall, we'll start with schools, and then, of course, academics and special libraries will kind of be included in those groups as well. So that is on the SHARE website. So if anybody is curious of where your library fits in, if you have not already launched Aspen, you can get an idea of the timeline of when that project will start for your group, and then when the actual final live will start. So we're really excited about that. It's just moving forward nicely.
I have
I
a
have
question.
all.
I'm sorry, I have a question. So I had at the since I was in the first cohort, I had done a lot of trouble tickets to say, hey, this is wrong, this is wrong. Is there going to be some comprehensive place that as changes are made to Aspen that we can go and look at, like the share cataloging page? My one question was about the carousels, and I finally figured out, and I was speaking with Dina, that there's now a new level of security that you can have one of your staff members be able to just see portions of it and not the admin side of it. And I didn't feel like I got a real big email back saying, oh, Donna, this is your new solution to that. So you know what I mean?
So I think Donna, you're the only one that we have using that limited permissions, because
I didn't set
so
it up yet. I haven't set it up yet because my life is getting.
For in that, In that case, it would just be a direct email to you, but we have started a list of outstanding issues that we are working on and that we can update. It has not been published yet, but that is something that's in progress.
Okay, good.
So for example, ePay, we know is a huge issue and they're working on it. It's in development now. But as things come up, like for example, we had, because you had mentioned the like carousels that would go on your website. We had Edwardsville, I think Public Library, had requested some type of technical solution that I'm not familiar with because I don't do website design. It was their IT department requesting a specific type of coding to be able to make some updates to those carousels. And so like that, for example, we would put that on the page.
If there is a solution that's better than the current one that I have, then I certainly would want to know about that as well. So,
right.
And just, I'm just going to throw it out there because the Square stuff is very frustrating. I get the payment, it works, but I have no identifying information about where that came from or, you know.
Yeah. And that is something that's still in development there. No. We had been told that for Square, there's only limited information that vendor will let them pull in. However, they are working on reports so that you can see it through Aspen instead of through Square. So you would still
That would work. Whatever. That would be fantastic. Okay. Yes,
something they are working on.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions about Aspen? All right. Next up, just to give everybody a heads up, we have completed annual agreements. And so those went out this week. If anybody has any questions, just feel free to send me an email and I'll be happy to help. And we also, let's see, let me go back to my notes here. We also have an opening for our Share eResources Committee. So if you have someone that's on your team that you think would be interested in that, it is available. There's a link to an interest form on the Share website. So please feel free to fill that out. It's a great entry point into Share volunteer committee volunteer work because it's only twice a year. They meet in September and in March. So if you know anybody, please just feel free to let them know to reach out. Okay, and that's all I have. Unless anybody else on the Share team, if you have any other updates that you'd like to share, anything maybe I've missed?
I don't know if we've updated this committee yet, but I'm a cataloger now. I think that the last, because it was what, February or January or something like that. Yeah, February 23rd, obviously. But hi, I'm a cataloger now. Hello.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jace. Yes. That is correct. So Jace has always been, so he started as an administrative assistant and he did such a great job. We actually revised that job to be a member engagement specialist, which was kind of tying in that role plus all of the great things that he was doing in addition to just administrative work. But he is very familiar with taking minutes. That was kind of one of the parts of his role. And so I think he will continue to take minutes for this committee in particular, although the other committees will have a new person taking care of minutes. So.
Well, that's wonderful. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, so then that moves us to new business. The first item is unclaimed items policy.
Yes. So prior to reaching for staff beginning of this year, we had all unclaimed items that had been sent to Share cataloging sent to the Edwardsville hub. I have an entirely full shelf and full tub of items that were sent without markings. Libraries have, it's been sent out over exchange to the director's listserv. No one's claiming these items. So we wanted to formalize a way to put them out to Share members after they reach a certain point, because we've done our due diligence. If someone doesn't want to claim them, you don't need to have them sitting at the hub not being used. So policy went out earlier this week.
Okay, so is that this sheet that we have, the item sent to the Share cataloging sheet? And our goal here is that we're looking at it to offer suggestions or comments on it?
Yes, and then to put it out to Share membership at the next annual meeting.
All right.
Since we are essentially giving away libraries items.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
why would anybody do that? I'm sorry.
We have some going back to 2020.
I can understand you just forget one, but you'd think mm-hmm. when it didn't come back, you would be like, okay, where did it go?
And you know? Often, quite a few times we do have that happen and then we're able to track it down. But no, I have a lot of items that just don't have homes now.
All right. Does anyone have any comments or suggestions about the item sent to share cataloging policy? The rough draft that we have here.
And in this, we wanted to formalize what people should do to help make it easier for them.
Right. And then what you're going to do in response if they don't do something.
So exactly.
I think that's a very good idea.
The webpage is in the works. We're working with IT on that. It will be ready before it goes to share membership.
Okay. Any other suggestions, comments? So do we need an official vote then to send this to the membership?
Cassie doesn't need to go to executive before it goes to share membership.
No, it just for just sending it for member comment, we can mm-hmm. do that in committee and then review the comments before sending it to executive.
Okay. Oh, okay. Perfect. So we're going to send it out for member comment.
Mm-hmm.
And do we need a vote?
Yes. Can I ask the question?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Gwen, go ahead.
I'm curious. Is there any way to be able to tell if maybe some of these things were supposed to go to the CMC?
We can.
There. And that group of people can see it as well, or is that?
So if they're on the exchange, if it's an IHLS library, it should be going to them somehow and they should be able to see it. But we can definitely go through and make sure that they weren't local authors and try to identify that. But okay. We also typically how CMC gets items is slightly different. They typically use a different form. Most of these have said share cataloging.
And they end up here. So that's why I know it does happen you actually picked up some, so you know.
Yes. Oh, I do. But the majority do have like share cataloging. And we're like, okay.
I just want to make sure those people are considered as well because they may have mistakenly sent it and didn't put any property stamps.
And we can definitely make sure that the CMC is aware of this new change and have them mention it in their stuff that if an item's gone missing, please check here as well. But typically, oftentimes the library sending items into the CMC are very aware and very conscientious about checking in on them. Not too often do we get emails going around our internal list saying that items are missing. But no, we can definitely make sure due diligence is done both ways.
All right. Do we need to have a vote on this to send it to member comment?
I believe so.
Okay.
Votes never hurt.
Votes never hurt. So can I have a motion to send the new unclaimed items policy for member comment?
This is Jacob. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Jacob. May I have a second?
This is Gwen. I'll second that.
Thank you, Gwen. Roll call vote.
Okay. And Lauren is here now.
Okay.
Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Shauna?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. The next item up for discussion is policies and procedures review.
This is more just information for the committee. We are going to start reviewing all of our policies and procedures for bibliographic services. We want to make sure that they're all fully up to date, standardized, as clear as possible. So our goal, and it's lofty, we would like to have this completed before, like by December, in case we need to send anything to membership vote, and we'll have that done. So for the next three meetings, we'll probably be bringing you 7 to 8 policies that we've reviewed. Some hopefully won't have any changes that are good, but there might be some that do have more. So just a heads up that that's coming.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea, you know, to review your policies. I know we do here in the library, so that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay. Any other new business? Then that brings us to old business, on order record policy.
Yes. So we talked about this at our last committee meeting. I've made the revisions. I did add in the 100 field to use appropriate indicators for the main injuries.
Yay!
Yes. I made sure that was in there. And then the part I added to was the red section at the end about violations of on order policy. Essentially, if an individual has three or more repeated violations of this policy within 6 months, their barcoding permissions will be removed until they take the full barcoding training again. Once that's completed, we will reinstate the permissions. We will also notify the director of this decision and action. If after completing the training, they violate it again 3 times in a 6-month period, their barcoding permissions will be removed indefinitely. Because at that point, it seems rather like they're trying to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So just to clarify for this violation of policy, we're talking about libraries circulating on order records?
Yes.
Okay.
In your instance with the issues with the vendor, completely separate. We've dealt with it. Not a big deal. It's people who are going, I can't think of the word.
Deliberately.
Thank you. Yes. Deliberately violating
just
it by circulating.
Doing it. Yeah.
I have found the last, because we're an acquisitions library, the last time we did the order, I found several that were vendor on order records, and the library that brought them in had not changed the capitalization of the 245. And I understand that that's the big attach or no for is the capitalization. So I found a library circulating off, and I was like, I'm not going to turn it in because this kind of, I could see. Do you want me to just send you the library when I find those, like the library that's not capitalized? Because you can do that easily in MarkEdit.
Is there any way possible you could actually just contact the library that is doing it? Because I would like somebody to just let me know.
Gwen, I would always, because I know you and I, like, I would, but, you know, some people get all in a dither if another library.
Oh, okay.
Jacob, why don't you go ahead, and I know who this library is. Why don't you go ahead and send an email and see if what your response gets. Maybe it'll change it. If it doesn't, let me know, and then I will step in at that point.
Yeah. It wasn't you, Gwen, though.
No. I know who it is.
Thank you for letting me.
Yeah, it was not. If it had been you, I would have let you know, Gwen.
if you do come across a library in that situation where they are circulating on it, still due diligence in that the record doesn't look complete. It doesn't meet requirements. So send it to me, please.
Yeah.
I won't harp on them. I'll just remind them gently.
Mm-hmm. I have noticed, too, though, that there are libraries, the barcoding libraries that are attaching to the on order records but not checking them in, like kind of just waiting to see. And then
that's okay as long as it remains in process.
Okay.
Or yeah, no, remains in process.
That's what I'm assuming they're doing is just kind of waiting it out.
And that's fine as long as they don't put it into circulation.
Okay.
I'd just like to mention that the font size for your new language is in a different font size than the rest of the document. But
thank you. Yeah, we'll get that corrected before we put it up.
That's just me. So what do we need to do with this policy?
Have one more thing. With the rental editions don't exist anymore.
Oh, really? Yay. Okay. So that we can just mark out and take off. As long as the committee is fine with that.
Everything's widescreen now pretty much, but I would still keep that because if you're getting something older, that may be an issue.
Yeah.
And there, cause there, where there's not a matching record already.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we need to have this sent to membership comment, or okay, so this will also
it's a big change.
So I would entertain a motion to accept our corrections and additions to the on order records policy. May I have someone motion that, please?
This is Carol. I'll make a motion.
Thank you. And may I have a second?
This is Lauren. I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Hey, and Bobby's here now.
Wonderful.
Okay. Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Shauna?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Bobby?
I'm sorry, which thing are we voting on?
So on order policy, the changes added in changes to 100, taken out a couple of things and added the section about violations.
Yep, I reviewed that one, so yes.
Okay. And Carol?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to the recommendation for the 490 field for graphic novels / manga.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Anna. She's been working on this one for me.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So basically, I think it says in the documents that you got, we tried to keep it sort of simple, just like if you have the title information in the 245, then you don't need to repeat the same information as a series statement in the 490. But if you are cataloging it as, like, I know some of, like, the Geronimo Stilton books, I think, are a good example of, like, where they're being cataloged in the 245 by the individual title, then you can have the series statement in the 490 with the corresponding, like, 8XX field. So hopefully that will clarify things for people. If not, you can feel free to ask questions. Hopefully this makes sense to everyone.
Sorry, this isn't so much with the policy itself, but just a technical thing. I see in the examples, there's 240s, but they're phasing out the 240 and wanting you to put that in the 700, like translation of. And the examples.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
We can change that for the example then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was just like copying and pasting from records.
Yeah, and that's...
But I guess going forward, if that's what it's supposed to look like, then we should switch it.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't completely gone away, but that's what I found out recently. They're phasing that 240 out for whatever reason.
I might put in, like, for the top one, I might put in, like, an example of, like, so if people are looking at, like, older records, they know what that is, and then, like, a newer version. Okay.
All right. And then under the translations adaptations, it says when a work has been adapted, enter the work under the person responsible in an added entry for the original author. But that first example has it the opposite of that. So we have the author and then the
adapters. It's correct on the website. This might be sorry. Ugh. Yeah, it's not supposed to say that. It's supposed to say whatever's on the, let me look up on the website.
Okay, yeah, we switched that at one point. Just,
yeah,
it
that
doesn't
is,
match.
That is correct. It is switched on the website.
Okay.
I think I changed this from the older document, like whatever's on the, here, let me pull it up.
And we are still working through the catalog on ones that do need to get switched. So,
yeah, so the way it's
major work in progress
listed under translations on the website is what it should be and is correct. Thank you for catching that.
Okay, are there any other changes or additions to this document?
I have a question with the translation adaptation. Okay, the first example, the Dragon Ball Z. It's I get that Akira Toriyama is in the 100 because he wrote the original, and the English, it's an adaptation, not a direct translation. But that one I'm fine with, but I have some issues with the Jane Austen one because the Dragon Ball Z was originally a Japanese graphic novel, and this Gerard Jones just did a little bit more than a direct translation. But the Jane Austen one, that's taking a not a graphic novel to graphic novel format. And should Jane Austen really be in the 100?
I agree. I think when we brought this up before, we chose this to make it so that catalogers wouldn't have to make this judgment. But I do think that, like, generally an adaptation from a novel to a graphic novel would be considered a new format and should really be. It's a significant change. So I agree that in the case of Jane Austen, that the adapter should be the main entry.
Yeah, maybe use a different example because, and it doesn't necessarily even need to be like a classic piece of literature. I mean, I've seen James Patterson novels adapted to graphic novel. It would be the same thing.
So you're saying for the James Patterson example, James Patterson would not be in the 100 field for that.
No, example. I would put him in a 700 with creator as the relator term. That's what I personally would do, but
isn't that sort of the old policy?
I don't know. I mean, okay.
No, I
kind
just,
of, yeah.
I think I agree with what you're saying, like, and I understand what you're saying, but to me, that's like how the policy used to be. And I don't really know. I mean, I can think about it and try to figure out like a good way to make that distinction.
Yeah, I think the change was made for manga because in the case of, in the case of Dragon Ball, Gerard Jones didn't like make that work. It's still Akira Toriyama's work. It's just he did like Jacob said, he did a little bit more than a translation because a direct translation wouldn't necessarily make sense. So it's just a little bit more work. But I mean, honestly, it's still Akira Toriyama. He's still doing art.
Well, I think it's just really we're not changing. I think it's just we need a different example because really, if you look at the what section this is of the policy, it's for translation/adaptations. So it's really for works that are translated from another language, but it's a little more than a direct translation. They adapt it to, which it's mostly this is going to be manga. Whereas I don't think this Jane Austen adaptation's manga. Based on, I'd have to look at the record, but I kind of don't think so.
So we want the distinction to be between like manga and just general graphic novels.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
For general graphic novels, the like in this case, like Lawrence would be the 100 entry.
Yep, and Jane Austen.
And then for manga, it's whoever the creator is.
And really, even for in the case of this, you don't even need to have Jane Austen as a 100 per se. The 700, you would have graphic novelization of work, The Pride and Prejudice Authority record. You don't even need to have a separate one.
Okay, I can change that. I think that makes sense. I don't know. Does that make sense to other people, that distinction?
I think if you're going to do this, we need to make sure that we have really good examples online and very clear instructions because I'm sitting here listening and I'm a tad confused. So I think if we, you know, if we make sure that the examples are very clear, like even if you add the Patterson one in, I think we'll be a little bit better and you might get less questions from staff.
Yeah, I think like we can distinguish if it's taking it from a normal non-graphic novel work, a graphic novel adaptation of a non-graphic novel work, whether it's classic literature or some hot recent adaptation, that's the adapter gets to be in the 100.
I was just gonna say, I think a lot of times they also put, like, for this one it's Pride and Prejudice the graphic novel, or you might say a graphic novel version by, you know, whatever. They usually, I feel like usually when I see these, they make the distinction on the work. It will say like, this is a graphic novelization of so-and-so's.
I mean, there's even one where I think I want to say it's the Babysitter Club graphic novelizations where the Authority record, because they're all adapted by the same person, is under Raina Telgemeier. Even it's not under Ann B. Martin, because Raina Telgemeier adapted the book by Ann B. Martin for graphic novel format.
Yeah. And I'm looking at one right now, and it's not Raina Telgemeier. It's a different one for one of the later ones, but they do have a 700 for Ann and Martin. Mm-hmm. But everything else is Arlie Nopra.
Okay. I'll get some more examples and write this out as clearly as I know how to do. And then for the next one, you guys can review it and see if it's a distinction that is going to make sense. Cause the goal with the policy, revisions are to make it so everyone knows what's going on. So but that all makes sense to me. Why? Cause I agree that those are slightly different situations. So.
Yeah. And we have a comment in the chat from Deanna. Could we still put Jane Austen in the 700 as a contributor? So an Austen search would pull the item up. I'm assuming that's the
goal.
That's what you would do. What you really would do is, and if it would pop up, is there would be an Authority record for Pride and Prejudice, and you would have 700, First Indicator 1, then Subfield I, graphic novelization of in parentheses work, then Subfield A, and then the Jane Austen blah blah blah. Yep, or that one works too, but I think there actually is an approved
graphic novelization of work.
But
that one is from the actual record currently in Polaris, so we know we need to update it. But
think the stuff that graphic novelization of work is only been added within the last year or two to the list too on RDA. So,
and this one's from 2013.
Okay.
They're not always in there, but there is a form term for graphic novel adaptations or comic book adaptations. So you could look for those. It's basically like saying this is a graphic novel adaptation of something else. So, I mean, if that's in there, that might help be an indicator like, hey, this is this was originally a different kind of work, and now we've made it into a graphic novel.
Yeah, and I personally, if I were originally cataloging or updating a very bad record from a manga book, I wouldn't use that in that LCGFT term in there. I would only use it in cases of the Pride and Prejudice one.
Okay. Linda Johnson, do you have your hand up? Would you like to say something?
Yes. I had a question about this topic. There is a book. Can I share my screen real quick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, I might have to make you co-host real quick. 1 second.
Okay.
Okay. You should be good now.
Okay. You see, this is, excuse me. A graphic novel adaptation, Hyde, Kirsten White. So what you're saying, Kirsten White, even though she's not, I mean, she's on there prominently, her name is there. You're saying that Scott Peterson should be the one that gets the 100.
Yeah, if this is was this like originally like non-graphic novel work?
Yes, it was.
Then yeah. Because a lot of times, like, we have a whole collection of them in the back. They're like young adult adaptations of like Dracula, Frankenstein, Macbeth, everything. Like with Macbeth, like William Shakespeare's like very prominently, but it's obviously not the play Macbeth. It's whoever adapted it should be the 100, not William Shakespeare.
Okay. Because I have seen it differently where it will say a graphic novel by or adapted by.
Yeah.
And then the author is just kind of incidental. The original author is just kind of incidental, but that is so prominent. That's, I just wanted to make that distinction. Okay. I'll stop sharing.
Because I think it's really down to, has the work been transformed? Because in the case of the manga that's been translated and adapted, it hasn't really been transformed into anything else. But with Pride and Prejudice, it was just a textbook and it's been transformed into the graphic novel. That's how I think of it in my head as the distinction.
Okay, so I'll change what we have to go back to the policy we had before and then make the distinction for manga specifically when the work has not been significantly changed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think the more examples you can put in that, the better.
Okay.
And I think the only example for what we're wedding there is manga, but then again, you know what? We'll approve this and then a few months later I'll find one.
And we are talking about that when we pull them into share, that we're making sure these standards exist, that we're not actually changing OCLC records, right? Or do you want people to change OCLC too?
The RDA correct thing, I thought, was that the, like, what our policy, like the adapter is supposed to be in the 100 field.
Yeah, we're trying to mirror it as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's that fine. Was why we had changed it. From my understanding, I mean, this was like before I was in this role, but like from my understanding, like that was why we were doing that, is because that was like more reflective of what RDA wants us to do. But then I think when we changed it back, it was like, well, people aren't doing this consistently. And for manga, and I think the conversation at that point was specifically about manga, it was like, well, you know, kids aren't searching based on the adapter, they're searching based on like the main creator. So then we changed it back.
All right. So you're going to bring this back to the next meeting then?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Anna. That's great. So do we have a collection code update?
Yes. So we are down to 938 collection, different collection codes.
Well, wow.
I know. We went down by 35. I have about another 45 libraries to email for any collection codes associated with between 0 and 2 items. I've heard back from several. Most have been very accommodating and like, oh yeah, we don't know why that was there, and fixed it. Schools might be a little harder. I don't want to jump to the point where I'm making an executive decision and changing it on them. So I will do my best with those. And then once we hit 0 to 2, we can decide if we want to go higher, like 3 to 9 area. But we are slowly making our way, or making headway into them.
Well, that's great. That's great. All right. Any other old business? All right. Any public comment? I do think we have a couple people here. Any other public comment? Not seeing anything in chat. Do we have any announcements? All right. Our next meeting is scheduled for Friday, July 21st at 10 a.m.
Is that supposed to be the 19th?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a calendar out.
Yes, it should be, because the 21st is a Sunday.
Yes, that's my bad. Sorry, everyone. Okay.
That's all right. So we'll just make that little change. It's Friday, July 19th at 10 a.m. Anything else? Mm-hmm. All right. Then this meeting is adjourned at 10:39 a.m. I hope everybody has a great day.
Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Great.